Your speaker is Claude Farr.
This morning I want to talk about once dead but now alive. It's always good to get back home. And I want us to look this morning at this passage in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And so if you'll turn there, we'll read these first seven verses at this time. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show forth the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I wanted to take a look at that passage this morning and notice a few things that are stated there. The first thing I want to look at is what he has to say about how we were. That is his description of the non-Christian world. There are several statements that he makes in these first three verses about the non-Christian world. There's about four of them that I'd like for us to take a special note of. First, he talks about being dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. Now, we have a good understanding with regard to physical death. We've buried loved ones, most of us have. We've been to too many funerals not to understand the havoc that physical death works in our lives. But there's another kind of death. Spiritual death. Death on the inside. And that's what this is about. Dead in trespasses and sins. Sin kills spiritually. And I'm afraid that sometimes not simply the world, but even Christian people do not appreciate just how bad sin is and how much harm and havoc it works in individual lives. And so the apostle, when he wants to express that, speaks of being dead in trespasses and sins. You might think of it a little bit like this. If you will think in terms of a young person, think of the innocency of childhood. Think of the purity there. Think of the idealism of children and youth. And think of the tender conscience that hurts if any little thing, even a little thing, is done wrong. And think of the tender heart that in pity wants to reach out toward other people. You think of these feelings which you had in early childhood and which you can see in your own children or other people's children as you talk with them. And then you quickly jump from that to 30, 40 years later and you see a person who has lost the innocency of youth and lost that purity. And you see a person who no longer has the ideals that he had as a youth. I'm talking about the sinful world now, not Christians. You see a person who is calloused. You see a person who is hardened. You see a person who no longer has that tender conscience, or one who is not touched so much with the problems of other people, but is somewhat hardened. What you're looking at is the ravages of sin in a person's life. That's what Paul is talking about, dead. Some of those things that were there in the earlier part of life, some of those good and admirable things that were there then, those things are not there anymore, at least not to the same degree. What has happened is sin has killed it. Dead in trespasses and sin. Now, we talk about the hardened criminal. And certainly the Bible in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 talks about being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And you look at the totally hardened criminal, and we can see it very clearly in that. Because we see a person who can can commit a crime. We can see a person who can commit murder. And in some cases, there are people who have committed repeated murders. And then when they're interviewed about it, and we can look at them and you can just see it as they answer that there's no remorse there. Callous. Hard. We can see that in the hardened criminal. But what we see in the hardened criminal, which is so obvious to our own eyes, is really what happens in every life. And with regard to each sin. And if you'll be honest with yourself, you'll take an honest look in your own heart into the sins in your own life. You'll be able to see it. You'll know what Paul's talking about. When he talks about being dead in trespasses and sin, sin kills something in us. That's what he's talking about. Dead in trespasses and sins. Don't ever take a light view of sin because it will work havoc in your life. And then the second expression that I want us to notice here, he talks about the course of this world. He says, in the times past, you walked according to the course of this world. And this is how we became, or people become dead in trespasses and sin. It's by living like the world wants you to live. And here, of course, he just mentions it briefly. But in the fourth chapter, he talks about it just a little more at length. And so let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, and let me read verse 17 through verse 19. Now, this is the course of this world, the way the Gentile world lives. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. And that's the course of this world. It's just that here he kind of expands the idea. He talks about the vanity of their mind. Now, the world thinks that it knows how to live. And people of the world write all kinds of books about how to live. And concerning all those books on how to live, at least all of those that did not incorporate Christian principles, the apostle refers to that simply as the vanity of the mind. And then he breaks it down a little bit. He talks about the understanding being darkened. And when you go out on a dark night and you start walking around, if it's dark enough, you'll bump into something. You'll stumble. You'll fall into a hole if it's dark enough. Here he's talking about not walking physically, but he's talking about morally and spiritually. And when your understanding is darkened, you won't know how to live. That's where the world is. Don't know how to live. And then he says, alienated from the life of God. And then the blindness of their hearts. I think maybe some of the translations, instead of blindness there, might say hardness, which we've already talked about. The idea is, if you're blind or if you're hardened, if you're blind, you can't see where you're going, or if you're hardened, you don't have the feelings that you're supposed to have. That's the course of this world. So Paul is saying to the Christians at Ephesus, he's describing the world of his day and of our day, that at that time you walked according to the course of this world. Now that's bad, to live your life the way the world would tell you to live it. But it gets worse. The next thing that he talks about is the prince of the power of the air. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now we probably wouldn't say that, said that way today, the prince of the power of the air, but that's just the way of, in the Bible, to describe it, the devil. And so what the apostle is saying here is that in living in sin, you're not simply letting the world direct your course, the course of your life, but it's worse than that. While you're living like the world tells you to live, really there's a power behind that. It's not the world's idea, it's the devil's idea. Walking according to the prince of the power of the air. Living with the devil in control of your life. And I was reading that and thinking about that. The world living, the devil ruling and telling people how to live their lives. And then I thought in terms, as I thought about that, I thought in terms of the dominant philosophy about people in our day and time is human autonomy. Autonomy meaning simply self-rule, individual autonomy. And that's kind of the watchword of our society. It's my life. It's my responsibility. I make my own decisions. Individual autonomy. Each of us, it's our life. We're free to direct our own lives. And that's what people talk about. That's what we hear all the time. The irony of it is that while the world is trying to direct their own lives, what is really happening, they're being ruled by the devil. That's what he's saying here. The people who are saying, it's my life, I'll live it the way I want to, they're not living their lives the way they want to. What is happening, they're not free. The apostle is saying it here is that they're living according to the roadmap, the course that the devil himself has laid out. People who refuse to let God rule their life automatically go the other direction, and they let Satan, they let the prince of the power of the air rule their life. Then he says, and the last thing I want to notice with regard to this world, the non-Christian life, he talks about the children of wrath, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It's a terrible thing to have to experience the wrath of God. Generally, when we talk about the wrath of God, we immediately project our thoughts to eternity, to the fires of hell, and that's correct. That's the wrath of God, as taught in Scripture. But also there's an earlier wrath. In the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul spoke of and said that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men. And then he does proceed to talk about hell. But he proceeds immediately to talk about the way the world is. And so in Romans chapter 1, when he says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, he talks then about the Gentile world and all of the evil and the sin that they have fallen into when they turned away from God. Sometimes people talk about hell on earth. And usually when people say that we have our hell here, they usually mean that there's no eternal punishment. And they're wrong in that. But they're right in that there is the wrath of God in this life. That's what Paul is saying. You just look at the world and the condition of it in Paul's day, or we can move from the first century to our day and age and look at the condition of our world. When man turned away from God, look at what has happened to our world. Read the newspaper. Watch television. And all the horrors and the violence and the crimes that you see in our world today, just look at that as God's visitation of His wrath upon man because of his unrighteousness and his ungodliness. And you don't have to look at the world as a whole. You can look at individual lives. And you can see the havoc and the wreck in many an individual's life because of sin. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness. And so Paul in these verses describes for the church at Ephesus the way it was before they were Christians. And this is always a description of the world without God. But then the second thing that we want to notice from the passage, and the second thing that he emphasizes, is not simply how we were or how the world is, but how it is now that we have become Christians. And for those of us who are here this morning who are Christians, we need to rejoice in this. And for those of you who are here this morning who are not Christians, but are still dead in trespasses and sins, you need to think about this and the great blessing that can be yours. Look again, beginning in verse 4. But God. And we'll just emphasize that all that's being said in these next few verses is not talking about something that we have done for ourselves, but the emphasis is what God has done for us through Christ. And so he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. But God, he says, has quickened or made alive. This is the good news of the gospel. We talked about dead in trespasses and sin, and this is what Paul is trying to say. Sin kills. You become dead in trespasses and sin. But God, through Christ, can make us alive again. What we lost through sin can be given back to us. Quickened, made alive. And think about that. Here is a person who has lost the innocency of his innocent youth. Here is a person who has lost, as we talked about, those ideals of childhood and the early years. And here's a person whose conscience is not tender like it used to be. And here's a person whose heart does not reach out toward others that are hurting but has become callous. Here's a person who is deadened in sin. What has been said here is, you can put on a Christian and get it all back. Now, maybe not exactly like, but it can be revived. That's what's being said. Quickened. And so that clear conscience comes back. And that tender conscience that is touched if you do wrong comes back. And that feeling for other people who are hurting and what that comes back. All those nice sensibilities that we had in earlier years but we let sin kill, those things can be brought back. We've seen it. You've seen it. We've all seen it in lives of people who were not Christian but then became Christians. And we watched them grow and develop and you could see the changes. What's happening is the good things that sin killed in one's life, those good things are being quickened or brought alive again. Wonderful thing. But that's not all. That's just in this life. He goes ahead and says that in the ages to come, there'll be much more. Much more. And so if you're not a Christian this morning, think about that. You're dead right now. Not physically, but spiritually, inside. All that emptiness, that hollow feeling, that deadness, all that's there. But it can be revived. It can be quickened, brought back. Make this life better. Not only make this life better, but God will continue to work with you to bless you through the ages to come. And that's what Christianity is all about. It's taken man who has killed himself, who is dead in trespasses and sins, killed himself spiritually, and it is reviving him. It is bringing him back to life. And that is a life that he enjoys living for God in this world and then all the way into eternity. It's a great thing to be alive again. And that's what this passage. We're going to sing an invitation hymn at this time. And it's for those of you who are not Christians. If you're not a Christian, you need to believe, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of sins. And if you will do that genuinely, and then let God work in your life. He'll make you alive again. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, would like to become one.